This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما رب العالمين اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك أما بعد. So like last week and the week before, we continue talking about the consequence of sins, the many, many consequence of sins. And for tonight, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah will share with us how sins blind the heart and weaken its ability to see the truth. So he says, وَمِنْ عُقُوبَاتِهَا, that is from the consequence and punishment of sin, that they blind the heart. And if not blinded, it weakens its insights, its ability to know right from wrong. And this has to happen. And we've explained before that it does weaken the heart. So he's here reinforcing what he had said before and adding to it. He said that when the heart is blind or it's weak, it will be unable to recognize al-huda, guidance. Will not be able to recognize al-huda or to execute it in himself or with others. And this is in accordance with its weakness, meaning the weaker it is, the less likely it is to know what the truth is to be able to follow it, right? Just like a weak person. If a weak person is really weak, he can't lift anything. But if his weakness is not severe, he can lift something. So it's saying the heart will do what? Will be weak, and its weakness are levels. And based on that level will be its ability to see the truth or not, or to be able to follow it or not. He says, فَإِنَّ الْكَمَالَ الْإِنسَانِيَّ مَدَارُهُ عَلَى أَصْلَيْنِ مَعْرِفَةُ الْحَقِّ مِنَ الْبَاطِلِ وَإِيثَارُهُ عَلَيْهِ. He says, human perfection revolves around, is built upon two things. Knowing falsehood from the truth, meaning able to differentiate them, and to favor the truth over falsehood. Meaning, basically, and this is a good thing to remember because these are foundations, right? It's basically knowledge and action, isn't it? All what we do is what you know and you act, isn't it? Not only religiously, but anything else. You know, you act. You know, you act. So he says, okay, human perfection. What is human perfection? Human excellence. Humans can be perfect. But what is human perfection? The best that they can be. That's their perfection. So you say, how can they be perfect or how can they be excellent? He says they must have knowledge and action. Like in any nation, religiously or otherwise, knowledge and action. So he says, if you have the right knowledge and the right action, then you're excellent. If you don't have that, then you're not. So you must know the truth versus falsehood. That's knowledge. You must then, after you know it, to follow what? The truth. Right? Right, not wrong. Then you become excellent. قالت وما تفاوتت منازل الخلق. He says, creations, degrees with Allah Azza wa Jal vary based on these things. Based on how well they know the truth and how well they follow it. قال وهما اللذان أثنى الله سبحانه على أنبيائهما بهما في قوله واذكر عبادنا إبراهيم وإسحاق ويعقوب أولي الأيدي والأبصار. He says, it is these two qualities that Allah praised His prophets with when He mentioned Ibrahim and Ishaq and Yaqub. Allah said, واذكر, and mention or and remember our servants Ibrahim and Ishaq and Yaqub, the people of Aidi, meaning power, and Absar, insights. Why did they deserve praise? He says, because these prophets had two qualities. Ulil aidi, meaning they are strong. Aidi is plural of yad, hand. And hand denotes what? Strength. Right? You're able to do. Wal absar basira is insight. It's because they have these two, Allah Azza wa Jal praised them. قال وانقسم الناس في هذا المقام أربعة أقسام. It says, so humanity is divided because of these two into four categories. Right? And you could come up with these categories on your own based on these two qualities. So he says the first are those who have both of them. They have knowledge, right action. And the, as he said, these are the best of creation. It says, then you have those who are the opposite. They don't have knowledge and they don't have action. Wrong knowledge, wrong action. He said, مَنْ لَا بَصِيرَةَ لَهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَا قُوَّةَ. They don't have power and they don't have knowledge. He says, these are most of people. These are most people. And they are the worst. It's interesting, right? And he's going to have an interesting description for them. But he says, these are the worst and these are most. Yeah, most of humanity belongs to what category? This. Right? And he says, أَلَّذِينَ رُؤْيَتُهُمْ قَذَ الْعُيُونَ. He says, seeing them is like a speck to your eye. It's harmful to your eye. It's disturbing to your eye. وَحُمَّ الْأَرْوَاحِ. And it is the fever of the soul. Meaning it's a disease to the soul. So meaning being around them is harmful physically and spiritually. Looking at them is a contamination. Because what are they doing? Anything and everything wrong. What they're doing is everything and anything wrong. So when you look at them, they harm you. Like you're looking at something ugly. The reason why we don't see them as ugly is because we lack these powers. Otherwise, they'll be the ugliest thing to us. Right? You know how when someone smokes a lot until they get used to that smell? Or he's around smokers and he gets used to that smell and also to the smell of their mouth? So it's not repulsive anymore? So what happened? It's not that the smell itself had become sweet. You got used to it. Your fitra got changed. So he says, looking at them is despicable, is ugly, is harmful. So you would look at the famous people that people celebrate, that fit that category, and people lust over them. Right? Not only like them, they lust over them. They love them. They wish to be them. They would wish to be next to them. And they lack that scale. Then you understand that the problem is not with them. Yani, not that they become beautiful. But we have become what? Ugly. Unable to detect that ugliness. See? So he says, spiritually they are infectious. Like a fever. And physically, it's hard to look at. Then he says, وَسَقَمُ الْقُلُوبِ. And they are the sickness of the heart. Then he continues, right? The description is kind of unique, but an interesting one. يُضَيِّقُونَ الدِّيَارِ. He says, they crowd the lands. They restrict it, constrain it. They, as if they populate it for no reason. There's no benefit. They bring no benefit. So they just what? They crowd the areas that they are in. But they don't bring with that benefit. وَيُغْلُونَ الْأَسْعَارِ. And they cause prices to soar. That's interesting. Yeah? They cause prices to soar, to go up. Now inflation, right? You say, but how? How do they cause that? They say either by their sins. Remember when we talked about when people sin, barakah is taken away? And part of that barakah is for things to be available. And when they are pricey, then they are not, then there's less barakah. So because of their sins, prices rise. But that's not the only reason. It's because of their misdeeds. Because they are corruptors in the land. So they steal and they cheat and they raise prices to make money, right? They steal from you, and if they can make a buck, they will make a buck. So they increase prices unnecessarily, just like all of, or not all, or a lot of these corporations do when they can get away with it. They will increase prices and use inflation as a reason, right? So they will steal your money. He says, so yughluna al-as'ar. And you wonder why it is so expensive, and you have some of the answer. That's why economists, if they are not religious, don't have the full picture. Now, you cannot study economy and come up with conclusions as to how to fix a state or an particular economy, and you don't know Allah Azza wa Jal. You have only worldly solutions, but you don't have the whole picture. Similarly, also, you cannot be a psychologist or a therapist or a counselor, because some people ask about this, right? You cannot be that, an effective one, if you are not religious and if you're not knowledgeable. You'll know what people said, but you have no idea what Allah said. So if you're not grounded in Islamic knowledge, I don't mean religious in the sense of, well, I just pray and fast, then okay, fine, this is good for you. But how does that help me when I come to ask you questions? No, unless you are grounded in knowledge and then you apply that in your life, and then you know what people have said about the human mind and the human self, and what, and they're able to decipher right from wrong by comparing it to what Allah Azza wa Jal had stated and what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had stated as well, then you'll be a good psychologist, therapist, counselor, what have you. So anything in the dunya that is trying to offer solutions is incomplete until it is grounded religiously. قَالَ وَلَا يُسْتَفَادُ بِصَحْبَتِهِمْ إِلَّا الْعَارُ وَالشَّنَارِ. You only get shame and disgrace when you keep their company. So that's the second category, most of humanity, right? So a person has to be also scared when you hear this, is that if this is the most, am I among the most? Am I among the most or not? And you, if you don't want to be that, then you need to escape it. Not just simply wish or assume that you're not. You need to escape it. How do you escape it? By what he's going to be talking about. Al-Qismu Thalith is the third one. It says, who has insights? They know right from wrong. لَكِنَّهُ ضَعِيفٌ لَا قُوَّةَ لَهُ عَلَى تَنْفِيذِهِ وَلَا الدَّعْوَةِ إِلَيْهِ. He says, he knows right from wrong, but he is weak, powerless when it comes to the execution of what he knows or to call people to it. He can't do it himself and he cannot invite people to it. And he says, this is the weak believer, and the strong believer is better than him and more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mu'minu al-qawiyu khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allahi min al-mu'min al-da'if. The strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. So what is the meaning of that hadith? Now you understand it. How is that believer strong? By having two things. What are they? They know and they act. Right? Keep that in mind. Because if you say to yourself or somebody asks you, you know, by the way, you know, I find myself to be a weak Muslim. How do I become strong? What's your answer? Now you know it. Knowledge and action. You have to learn and you need to act. Learn more, read more, attend more, listen, and also follow and strive and push yourself and keep doing these two. Because it's insufficient to be strong in one but weak in the other. You're still weak. So this is a weak believer, a strong believer. And he is weak because what? He knows right from wrong. He just doesn't follow it. And that again, that's also, he doesn't say this, but that's also the case for a lot of us. We know, but we just really don't follow. But at least we know. And that's better than being completely devoid of strength. At least you know, maybe later, You'll be able, inshallah, to follow it. Al-Qism al-Rabi', the fourth one, he says, is the one who has energy, enthusiasm, zeal, but no insight in religion. Unable to distinguish between the allies of the Rahman and the allies of the Shaytan. The friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, those who are close to him, and those who are close to the Shaytan. He can't tell them apart. بَلْ يَحْسَبُ كُلَّ سَوْدَاءٍ تَمْرَةٍ These are, you know, kind of like idioms or proverbs. He says, but he believes that every black thing is a date. And every white thing is a piece of fat. And he thinks that a swelling, an animal that is sick and is swelled because of that sickness, he thinks it's fat. And he thinks that the medicine, he thinks that the medicine is poison. If you present him with medicine, he thought, well, that's poisonous. So he doesn't take it. So it's kind of humorous too, right? But this is how they conveyed that message. Dates. He said, every black thing is a date. He has no clue. Or every white thing is what? That's a piece of fat to eat. He has no clue. Or he sees an animal. Oh, mashallah, this is fat. But no, it's sick. It's sick, but it's just as swelled. So he says, has no insight. He has energy. And again, you'll find people like that among Muslims. You can see them. They have a lot of energy. May Allah bless that energy that they have. They're willing to do a lot, talk a lot, march, speak, do a lot of things. But when it comes to their knowledge, it's almost non-existent. They want to do a lot of good, but they don't know right from wrong. They need direction. And sometimes they are amenable. They're open to that direction. They will say, I don't know. I don't know, tell me. Because I don't want to do mistakes. And some know they're stubborn. No, this is what needs to be done. And it's you guys who are the problem. Right? So you need strength in both. And if you're not strong in one, you need someone to compliment you. Right? You need someone to compliment you. Just let me remind you of a Shafi'i, rahimahullah, when he spoke to Ahmad, rahimahullah, and he said, أنتم أعلموا منا بالحديث. He says, you know hadith better than we do. So tell us when it's authentic, whether it is from Iraq or al-Sham or al-Hijaz, so we would follow it. So Shafi'i recognized what? Okay, I didn't spend time. It's not like he's not brilliant. He is, but he didn't spend time pursuing hadith like other scholars did. Not as much. He did, but not as much. So he says, you know hadith more. He knew, okay, this is something I lack. And it is wise to understand what you lack. It is wise to know what is missing. So he said, you compliment me. So if somebody is weak, he say, compliment me. I'm strong here. Compliment me in my areas of weakness. This is how people proceed to Allah Azza wa Jal. قال وليس في هؤلاء من يصلح للإمامة في الدين ولا هو موضع لها سوى القسم الأول. He says, none of these people is qualified to be an imam religiously, a leader religiously, except the first category. The rest cannot be leaders. They have to follow. But the leader is only the first who has both of these things, knowledge and action. قال الله تعالى, he's now going to confirm this. He says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. He said, and we made from them, we've selected from among them, أَئِمَّةً, leaders, who will guide with our commands, because we commanded them. لَمَّا, here is why they were selected. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, when they were patient, and they were certain of our ayahs. They had conviction. So these two things, patience and conviction. قال فأخبر سبحانه, so Allah said that بالصبر واليقين نالوا الإمامة في الدين. He says, because of patience and certainty, they acquired leadership or imama religiously. And that is a statement that comes from Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and Ibn al-Qayyim repeats it. And it's widespread. That is, if you were to read or to listen, this is something that gets repeated often. So listen to it again, right? بالصبر واليقين نالوا الإمامة في الدين. It is with patience and conviction that they became leaders religiously. Before that, you're not qualified to be, right? So what is al-sabr wal-yaqeen? Al-yaqeen is this knowledge. And al-sabr is that power. Patience, that's the power. That's the action. So they believed in something, and they patiently pursued it. That's how they became leaders. And they resisted those who fought them. And that's how Allah Azza wa Jalla selected them. قال وهؤلاء هم الذين استثناهم الله سبحانه من جملة الخاسرين. It says these people, that category, that first category, it says that's the one that Allah excluded from the losers, from the multitudes who are losers. وَأَقْسَمَ بِالْعَصْرِ, and he took an oath with the asr, the time, which is the time that you spend either to win or lose. This time is the time that you use, or the arena that people use to either win or lose. That everybody else is a loser except the categories that he excluded. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, when he said wal asr, he swore by the time. This is our actions. Where are they? In time, during time. It says, innal insana lafi khusr. Indeed, humans are in loss. So everybody's a loser. Illa. Now the exception. And the exception tells you what? That most are what? Losers, and the exception are the exception. But most are losers. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ, he said, آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So they have iman, and they have good deeds, and they counsel each other to follow the truth, and they counsel each other to be patient. قَالَ وَلَمْ يَكْتَفِي مِنْهُمْ بِمَعْرِفَةِ الْحَقِّ وَالصَّبْرِ عَلَيْهِ. He says it was not enough for Allah to say that they will escape being among the losers when they know the truth and they are patient with it, until they counsel each other to follow it, guiding each other to it, and asking each other to be patient. Only then would you be excluded from it. So to have iman, just iman? No. Iman wa amilu salihat, great, but you're still incomplete. Until you do what? Until you say to each other, follow the truth. Remind each other, follow the truth. Guide people, follow the truth. And then of course, when you follow the truth, you are going to be resisted and harmed. You have to, insulted, attacked. So they say, be patient with it. Follow the truth and be patient with it. Follow the truth and be patient with it. And it says, only when they do this, do they become among the successful. So the recipe for success is there. It's not a mystery. If it was a mystery before, it's not a mystery now. So the recipe for success is right there. Qala, everybody else other than this category are losers. And it's known, he said, that sins and disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, they blind the heart. So the heart fails or start to fail to see the world as it is. The truth as it is, the clarity, the heart loses clarity. وَتَضْعَفُ قُوَّتُهُ وَعَزِيمَتُهُ, and even the resolve of the heart and its zeal weakens. Right? فَلَا يَصْبِرُ عَلَيْهِ, doesn't have patience to follow it. Right? The truth, right? He doesn't have patience, start to lose patience to follow, patience with it. بَلْ قَدْ تَتَوَارَدُ عَلَى الْقَلْبِ, he says, but indeed sins could keep attacking the heart. حَتَّى يَنْعَكِسَ إِدْرَاكُهُ كَمَا يَنْعَكِسُ سَيْرُهُ, the sins could overwhelm the heart until his perception is inverted or reversed as his movement is reversed. فَيُدْرِكُ الْبَاطِلَ حَقًّا وَالْحَقَّ بَاطِلًا, so he sees as falsehood the truth and truth is falsehood. The opposite. He doesn't see it as it is anymore, but the opposite. So you understand what he's saying. He says, sins in the beginning will do what? Will weaken you. So you don't see all the truth, but you still see some, right? And you're not completely immobilized, you still do some good. But what has happened is that you are weaker in its pursuit. You're not as energetic, as patient as you were before, but you still have some power. But if they keep, the sins keep visiting the heart, then visiting the heart, then visiting the heart, you become sicker and sicker and weaker until you lose a complete perception of reality. You don't know what the truth is anymore. The truth now is repellent to you. Right? Like people could listen to the Quran and run away from it. You could tell them no alcohol and they think this is barbaric. Prohibiting alcohol is barbaric. Prohibiting zina is barbaric. Where is freedom of choice? They can't just see it. So they will be attracted to, like when if you open the doors of sin, yeah, this is a physical road that has sins in it. And a physical road that has what pleases Allah. That road that pleases Allah repels them. They don't want to be there. The people who please Allah repel them. But the door that, and the path, the actual road, right, that has these shops in it that upset Allah, that attracts them. And the people in it attract them. And they can spend hours listening to them. So the perception of the heart has been reversed, right? وَيَرَى الْمَعْرُوفَ مُنْكَرًا وَالْمُنْكَرَ مَعْرُوفًا. So falsehood and evil are, falsehood and truth are reversed. فَيَنْتَكِسَ فِي سَيْرِهِ. So it's travel to Allah Azza wa Jal gets reversed and he walks backward. So he goes away from his travel to Allah and to the Day of Judgment to his travel. He starts traveling to مُسْتَقَرِّ النُّفُوسِ الْمُبْطِلَةِ, to what empty souls are engaged in. The ones that are simply satisfied with this dunya and happy with it and inattentive and negligent of Allah's and His ayahs and does not wish to meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's saying that if that's the only punishment for sin, it would be sufficient, right? Then he continues and he said, and he wants here to know, to kind of highlight or emphasize how as sin kind of leaves darkness in the heart, Allah's obedience will deposit light. And that light is able to not only resist, but defeat shaitan as well. And he will, you know, present an analogy here. He says, وَكْمَا أَنَّ الطَّاعَةَ تُنَوِّرُ الْقَلْبِ. He says, righteousness enlightens the heart. Right? وَتَجْلُوهُ وَتَسْقُلُهُ وَتُقَوِّهُ وَتُثَبِّتُهُ. So it kind of polishes the heart, strengthens it, and establishes it. Right? So he says, حَتَّى يَصِيرَ كَالْمِرْآةِ الْمَسْقُولَةِ فِي جَلَائِهَا وَصَفَائِهَا فَيَمْتَلِئُ نُورًا. It becomes like a polished mirror in it, meaning completely polished, completely pure, and filled with light. فَإِذَا دَنَ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنْهُ أَصَابَهُ مِنْ نُورِهِ. He says, when the shaitan comes close to that heart that is filled with light, it'll be burned or harmed by that light. As he, when he is trying to eavesdrop in the skies to what the angels are talking about, to the purity of what the angels are talking about, he'd be hit, right? He'd be hit and he'll be chased and he'll be burned because of it. So he says it's the same thing. Shaitan would be so afraid of that heart, worse than, a greater fear than the wolf from the lion. And I was thinking as I'm reading it, why did he use the wolf with the lion? It's because he had mentioned before that the shaitan is the wolf of humanity. Right? Shaitan wudhi'bu bani Adam. That the shaitan is your wolf. And he will devour you. Who will eat you? And that indicates weakness, right? That we are weak. But he's saying that if you have Allah Azza wa Jal beside you, and if you have ta'a, righteousness in your heart would be so strong and so pure and so lit that when the shaitan wants to come close, you'll burn him. And he'll be afraid of you like a wolf from a lion, meaning you'll become a lion. You will become strong like a lion, not weak anymore. Not really susceptible and open to all the whispers of the shaitan. Now, he'll never stop whispering. Will the shaitan ever stop whispering? Can you ever reach a stage when you say, now I'm free from the whispers of shaitan? Can it? No. But he says he is very apprehensive when he approaches. Very afraid when he comes close to you. And he says, حَتَّى إِنَّ صَاحِبَهُ لَيَصْرَعُ الشَّيْطَانِ. He says, indeed, that person could beat the shaitan, could overpower him, throw him to the ground, he said. فَيَخِرُّ صَرِيعًا. He will fall to the ground. So the shayateen will come and say, what happened to him? He says, an insi, a human being, overpowered him, put him to the ground. And that's an image, wallahu a'lam, because that's not a thing that Ibn al-Qayyim witnessed physically happening, wallahu a'lam. But he was saying that this is an image, that he'd be so defeated, so weak, that the other shayateen will be amazed. What happened to him? Why is he so defeated? He says that he is trying to mess with a strong human. Right? A strong human. And of course there is basis for this in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that the believer weakens his shaitan like you weaken your camel in a long travel. You know how you ride a camel? And the camel rides for a long time and you don't have enough water and you don't have enough food. By the end of the trip, the camel is weak, tired, hungry. It says you weaken as a believer. If you are a strong believer, you weaken your shaitan like a weak camel taking a long trip. So that's not a strong shaitan versus the shaitan of the disbelievers. As they state, they say you will find the shaitan of the disbeliever fat and happy. Because he eats with them, and he drinks with them, and he sleeps with them, and he does everything, and they listen to him. And he doesn't have to what? Do a lot. He doesn't have to do. They're not fighting him. He just says, do something, they'll do it. And then he just brings, and he likes poetry, rahimahullah. So he says, a look from a heart of a liberated, bright man or lit man or lit person that is about to burn the shaitan. So that he's saying is that you could be filled with light that you can burn the shaitan. So is this heart, he is saying, similar to the heart of another who is filled with the darkness of sin, filled with the confusion of different desires? The shaitan has taken him as his home, as his base, does with it whatever he wants. إِذَا تَصَبَّحَ بِطَلْعَتِهِ, when he wakes up in the morning, the shaitan greets him and he says, welcome. I know that you'll never be successful in this life or in the next. Welcome, because what? He achieved his goal. So again, some verses of poetry. I am your companion in the dunya and in resurrection and after. So you are my companion everywhere. So if in the land of misery I am with you, we'll be in misery together. Meaning, I brought misery to you in the dunya and I will always be with you and I'll make sure that you'll never escape that misery. But how was he able to do this? Is because we've given him the keys to our hearts and the keys to our lives and keys to our bodies. Otherwise, they don't have that power. They can just only whisper. So if you want the shaitan to be your companion, he will be your companion, right? And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, so Ibn Qayyim quotes this ayah, why would the shayateen become people's companions? قَالَ وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. Right? He says, and the one who يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ. يَعْشُ means weakens. Al-Asha is to have weakened sight. You could be blind or just weak in sight. So if you are weak in your sight when it comes to a remembrance of Allah, or you are blind when it comes to the remembrance of Allah, so you turn away from Him. And by the way, that disease begins as a smaller disease. Weakness in sight. You forget. Then you forget some more. Right? Then you forget some more. Then you forget some more. Until you are completely forgetful. So when you really turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah said, "What we appoint him and the shaitan, فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. He is his companion. And you say, why does this happen? Because the place is vacant. And places in this universe, in this world don't stay vacant, right? Like if you are living in a beautiful house, and you shouldn't simply leave it, don't you think a person will come and take residence in it? Right? It's not going to stay empty. So Allah is saying that when you turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal and the place is empty, your heart is empty, do you think the shaitan is going to say, I'm going to leave it empty? He said, oh, okay, that's my time now. So the shaitan comes. So this is what Allah says, فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. Then interestingly, Allah said, وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. It says, and they block them from Allah's path. They misguide them while they think that they are guided. Look at, that's the travesty of it. Because as long as you think that what you're doing is wrong, there is hope that you'll come back, right? There is hope, there's always hope. As long as somebody is ashamed, okay, maybe you will wake up one day. But if you think that you're guided while you're not guided, how will you ever come back? How will you come back? So that subversion of the human fitrah and the human perception is the most dangerous thing. Because how would you argue with this person to try to convince them that this path is wrong? He's adamant now. No, this is right and you're wrong. You're backward. Something is wrong with you. What are you telling me about God and prophets and day of judgment and all of this? What are you talking about Islam? What are you talking about, you know, being pious and being righteous, leave the dunya? That's not my scene. That's not my mood. That's not what I want to do. That's not what attracts me. There are other things in life that are exciting. This is just so dull and boring and what, right? So how could you reach that person? You could always make dua and keep giving da'wah, but how could you reach that person who doesn't even think that what they're doing is wrong anymore? No, this is right. Nothing wrong with it. We're supposed to live the way we think we like to, love to. We set our own morality. Right is what I think is right. Wrong is what I think is wrong, right? Isn't that how a lot of people think? So how do you convince that person? So he, subhanAllah, the shaitan misguides them and they think that they are following the truth. Hatta إِذَا جَاءَنَا. But see the difference here. Until when he comes to us, meaning on the day of judgment, قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ بِعْدَ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ فَبُؤِسَ الْقَرِينِ. He will say to his companion, I wish that there is a distance between me and you like east and west. You're a worst companion. Right? Then Allah says, وَلَيَنْفَعَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ إِذْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ فِي الْعَذَابِ مُشْتَرِكُونَ. He says, it will not be sufficient for you or consoling in any sense for you that today both of you are experiencing the same punishment. And Ibn al-Qayyim will explain it. So Ibn al-Qayyim here, rahimahullah, explains the ayah that I just explained, that Allah Azza wa Jal, when you turn away from him and the shaitan comes and he blocks you from understanding his book and knowing Allah Azza wa Jal, that shaitan will be with you all the time. قَالَ لَا يُفَارِقُهُ لَا فِي الْإِقَامَةِ وَلَا فِي الْمَسِيرِ. Whether you're traveling or you are a resident, he will never leave you. He's always with you, and he brings this verse of poetry, رضي عالبان ثدي أم تقاسم بأسحم داج عوض لا نتفرقوا. He says, did they drink the same milk from the same mother, or did they swear at night that forever we will not separate? So that he's saying, yani, kind of bring this verse to say, why are these two together? Are they brothers? They drank the same milk from the same mother, that's why they're always together? Or did they by chance swear one of those nights that forever we will be together? Why? Which one of the two? So he's saying that's this strange companionship between this shaitan and that human being. Why are you with him and he is with you? You're not brothers. So why did you take him as your companion? Then he says, continues that the shaitan blocks him and then misguides him and he thinks that he is guided. And on the day of judgment, he will say that I wish that I've never knew you and that the distance between us is like east and west. Then he continues explaining the last part of the last ayah. قال ولما كان المصاب إذا شاركه غيره في مصيبته حصل له بالتأسي نعو تخفيف وتسلية. He says, when you're afflicted and you see that others also have the same affliction, that mutual pain that you know that people also are going through consoles you, lessens the affliction, right? Knowing that, well, others have gone through the same thing, right? And all of us know this feeling. If you're going through anything terrible and somebody comes and says, you know what, I had that same sickness not long ago, you immediately feel what? Better or worse? Better. Oh, you know what? I'm going through the same thing at this time. You feel, oh, I'm not alone, right? I'm not alone. So mutual affliction or common affliction decreases the intensity of the affliction itself. Well, it's not just me. And it's not just me who's suffering with high prices. Everybody is, so okay, fine. It's not just me. It's not on me who's always stuck in traffic. Everybody is, so that's fine. It's not on me who always has trouble, this or that. Everybody does, so that's fine. Why? Because everybody has it. So it becomes easier. So he said here, but this mutual affliction that makes the affliction itself easier, he says, this is not happening on the day of judgment, because the companion will not find any relief or the least joy, because the other is being punished as well. Right? So that mutuality or commonality brings no relief. That's why Allah says, وَلَن يَنْفَعَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ إِذْ ظَلَمْتُمْ. It's not going to help you today that both of you are experiencing the same punishment. In the dunya it will help, but in the akhirah you will not find the least bit of relief, because oh, at least he's being punished. No. None of it. وَكَانَتِ الْمَصَائِبُ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِذَا عَمَّتْ صَارَتْ مَسْلَى. He says, when afflictions or travesties in the dunya, when they are widespread, people start kind of to get more used to them or to forget their intensity. As Al-Khansa said about her brother, Sakhr. And I just find that interesting. That's why I'll explain it. So Al-Khansa, this is before she accepted Islam. And it's famous that her brother passed away. So she composed these poems in his remembrance. And then part of what she said, فلولا كثرة الباكين حولي على إخوانهم لقتلت نفسي وما يبكون مثل أخي ولكن أعزي النفس عنه بالتأسي. He says, and if not that there are multitudes around me crying over their brothers, I would have killed myself. See what he's saying? If not for the fact that a lot of people around me are crying because they also lost their brothers, because of my loss, I would have killed myself if not that I see that it's common that this happens. Then she said, وَمَا يَبْكُونَ مِثْلَ أَخِي. And then he said, they're not crying over someone even close to my brother. Right? Like my brother is something else. Everybody is nothing like him. وَلَكِنْ أُعَزِّي نَفْسَ عَنْهُ بِالتَّأَسِّي. But I console myself by observing that common affliction. Right? So it's very beautifully put. Right? Very beautifully put from her. And that this is true. Right? And that's why a way to console people, as long as you're not exposing a sin of yours, yeah, is to tell them, yes, I went through this, or I know people who had gone through this, and they conquered it, or they were able to withstand it, or they survived it. So it tells you that there is hope, right? And it rescues that person from the depth of despair and the whispers of the shaitan that tries to tell everybody, you're the only one and your problem is the biggest problem and there's no escaping it. So this is also how to help people by pointing that commonality of affliction. So he said, rahimahullah, that Allah Azza wa Jalla had deprived people of that, even that type of relief in the akhirah if they are being punished. Okay, trying to decide. Okay, so we can do questions or I can continue. Do you guys have a lot of questions? Not yet? Okay. Because the next chapter is probably not going to be finished by time for Isha. So anyway, we'll do part of it, I guess. Then we'll answer some questions, inshallah. Unless you like absolutely determined to say, no, stop, we have a lot of questions to ask, then I can stop. Okay. Continue? طيب إن شاء الله. طيب. قال ومن عقوباتها also. He says, and from its punishment is that it will strengthen your enemy, right? By endowing him or giving him greater supplies, greater soldiers, greater power against you. And your enemy is the shaitan. So in this whole, let's call it chapter, he's going to tell you that this is a state of jihad. This whole world that you're in is a state of jihad. And that's, by the way, is very interesting. And we're going to come and we will talk about it, because it will tell you how it is a state of jihad. But it's not a time or a place for you to be comfortable. This is not the time or the place for you to find comfort, not in the dunya. The dunya is a place of jihad. So imagine yourself a soldier, and the soldier says, I want to take a nap, I want to rest. As a no soldier, you're stationed, right? You have an enemy, and the enemy is out to get you, and the enemy is plotting against you. And if you're not ready, and if you're not fit, and if you're not smart, he will destroy you. So this is not for time for you to relax or let your guard down. This is the time for you to fight. So when you sin, he's saying, now you're in that state of jihad, and you know that you're a soldier, and there's a soldier who's fighting you, then you're strengthening your enemy to defeat you. That is the idea here, right? So he said, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ ابْتَلَى هَذَا الْإِنسَانَ بِعَدُوٍ لَا يُفَارِقُهُ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. This is amazingly, Allah had afflicted or had tested humanity, each human, with an enemy that does not leave you a blink of an eye. Right? Other enemies do, human enemies. But this doesn't leave you a blink of an eye. And he does not sleep to let go of you. And he's not neglectful of you. He's always watching. He's always plotting. He's always trying. يَرَهُ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَرَاهُ. He sees you, but you don't see him. He's counting the advantages. So, doesn't leave you a blink of an eye. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't neglect. Sees you, but you don't see him. And he says he does his best to harm you. And he does not leave a plot, but try to throw it your way or send it your way. وَيَسْتَعِينُ عَلَيْهِ بِبَنِي أَبِيهِ مِنْ شَيَاطِينِ الْجِنِّ وَغَيْرِهِ مِنْ شَيَاطِينِ الْإِنسِ. And he enlists the devils from the jinn, and he enlists the devils from humans as well. He has two contingents, right? Two groups. He'll bring the jinn against you who are shayateen, but it doesn't stop there. He'll bring also humans against you as well, right? قال فقد نصب له الحبائل والغوائل والأشراك والفخاخ. He says what? He says now he has these traps set up for you everywhere. And he says to his helpers, this is your enemy and the enemy of your father. Who's his father? Iblis. Right? So he says, this is your enemy and the enemy of your father. لا يفوتكم. Don't let go of them. Don't let him enter Jannah and you enter hellfire. Right? Don't let him receive Allah's mercy and you receive Allah's curse. Don't let that be. You know what happened to us because of them. Right? So you see that hostility. So Ibn al-Qayyim is trying kind of to convey to you that hostility. And you can understand it because humans sometimes have that hostility. If one family harmed another family, they say, okay, we're gonna make sure that they are wretched, that they're miserable, that they're not successful. So the shaitan has that animosity, that hatred, that revenge. He said, don't let them. You know what happened to us? Because of them. Because of them, we were expelled from heaven. So make sure that they will be your partners in Allah's curse, since you could not be with their righteous in heaven. Meaning, if you are drowning, let them drown with you. If you're going down, you bring them down with you. Because you know where they're going. Why would you let them succeed? You bring them down. You do your best. So he said, Allah Azza wa Jal told us that this is all because of our enemy. And he told us to be ready for it. Meaning you have been told this. And وَلَمَّا عَلِمَ سُبْحَانَهُ أَنَّ آدَمَ وَبَنِيهِ قَدْ بُلُوا بِهَذَا الْعَدُوَ وَصُلِّتَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَمَدَّهُمْ بِعَسَاكِرَ وَجُنْدٍ. He says, when Allah knows this is your enemy, and this is what they have for you, Allah Azza wa Jal gave you reinforcements, gave you soldiers, gave you help. وَأَقَامَ سُوقَ الْجِهَادِ فِي هَذِهِ الدَّارِ فِي مُدَّةِ الْعُمْرِ. And he established jihad in this world, as long as you live. So the armies of the shayateen are against you, and he says, you also have an army and enforcements and soldiers against them. And this time, this life, is that time of jihad. Which is what? He says, it compared to the hereafter is like one breath that you take. In all of this. Because if you say to yourself, all this life is jihad, right? I'm already tired. I'm already going to surrender. I'm already way the weighed down. All of this life is jihad, like till I'm 50, 60, and this is still, I'm going on. He says, think, all of this in the hereafter is just like one breath, right? I don't know if he would do it the same way I did it, but it's just one breath. That's it. And it's done. So the hereafter is forever. So whenever you think I'm too tired, say, it's just one more hour, two more hours, one more day, two more days, it'll be over. And eventually it will be over. So it's just one breath, right? And he said he had, Allah Azza wa Jal had declared a transaction with the believers. He buys from them their souls and their money, and he will give them Jannah in exchange. They will fight for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. They'll be killed and be killed. And Allah, he says, this is a promise that Allah had given them in the Torah and the Injil and the Quran. And Allah Azza wa Jal has the best of promise. So he says, if you want to understand how heavy that transaction is, how profitable how that transaction is, look at the one who has offered the price, look at the one who has guaranteed it, and look at what you have, and you will gain. Allah Azza wa Jal has offered it. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has conveyed it, and the price that you get back is what? Is heaven. So he says, the most profitable of transactions. أي فوز أعظم من هذا وأي تجارة أربح منه. What is there a greater success, or is there a more profitable transaction? As Allah Azza wa Jal says, هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم. Shall I not point you to a transaction that will save you from severe punishment? You will believe in Allah and His Messenger and do jihad, or strive in Allah's sake with your money and yourselves. This is best for you. If you but know, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive your sins and admit you into heavens, under which rivers will flow and beautiful abodes in eternal heavens. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And something else that you love, a victory from Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said here, if someone were to ask, but why did Allah Azza wa Jal destine this jihad? So we already have concluded it is in an arena of jihad, this world. But why did Allah decree it that way, as difficult as it is for everybody to go through it? He said, Allah Azza wa Jal did not give him power to be able to harm you and to be able to attack you, except because this jihad is the most beloved thing to him. Because it extracts the most beloved things from humanity. That this jihad is beautiful to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because when it happens, the people who engage in jihad become the best of people. And Allah Azza wa Jal elevates them because of the sacrifice they are willing to offer. So before it, they're at one level. But they have not yet been tested. Not yet been harmed. Not yet have agreed to say, yes, I will give my life to Allah. I will give up that thing for Allah. I'll give up my money for Allah. They didn't offer that sacrifice yet. They weren't heard, and that yet say, I'll continue to be patient. And I'll trust Him subhanahu wa ta'ala despite that harm. They didn't say any of that yet. So Allah wants to extract from them the best of them and develop in them the best. So that's why Allah Azza wa Jal had made this earth an arena for jihad. فَعَقَدَ سُبْحَانَهُ لِوَاءَ هَذَا الْحَرْبِ لِخُلَاصَةِ مَخْلُوقَاتِهِ وَهُوَ الْقَلْبِ. Allah Azza wa Jal have kind of established that this war, or allowed that war, because of the most select of His creation, which is the heart. It's like the primary goal of all of this is the heart. Right? The fight is over what? What is going to be won or lost is what? The heart. So the khulasat, so interesting. This is what he says. Khulasatu makhluqati. The select of Allah's creation is the heart. The best of you is your heart. Alladhi huwa. Notice how he describes it. Alladhi huwa mahallu ma'rifatih. ومحبته وعبوديته والإخلاص له والتوكل عليه والإنابة إليه فوله أمر هذا الحرب. So this is the place, the heart, where you would know Allah and where you would love Him and where you would worship Him, and where you would be devoted to Him, and you would rely on Him, and you would return to Him, so He made it responsible for that war. It is the commander. It is the king. It is what's going to be won or lost. So it is this place that has everything that Allah loves. And it gets developed when you wage a war against the enemies of Allah, the shaitan, and you win it. And he harms you and you harm him, and you continue to fight until death. And he says, وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنْدٍ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ لَا يُفَارِقُونَ. It says, and he given him angels, soldiers, supporters, that never leave him. Like the shaitan never leaves, right? He says the angels, they never leave. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. He says they have successive angels in front of him and behind him. They protect him by the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we know about the angels that record, right? Good and bad, we know about them. But the مُعَقِّبَات, it is stated here. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ. He has angels in front of him and behind him. They preserve him and protect him by Allah's decree and by Allah's command. Right? So, يَعْقُبُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. They succeed each other. Meaning when one goes, the other one takes his place. كُلَّمَا ذَهَبَ بَدَلٌ جَاءَ بَدَلٌ آخَرٌ يُثَبِّتُونَهُ. They make him steadfast. They command him to do good. They exhort him to do it. And they promise him that Allah will honor him. And they make him patient. Right? وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا هُوَ صَبْرُ سَاعَةٍ. They tell him, it's just a patience for an hour. And then you will relax forever. You'll be comforted forever. So subhanAllah, as you may be aware sometimes that there is a devil that is whispering, and you say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Also, there is an angel that is supporting you. And the effect or the consequence of that angel sometimes is when you feel yourself being pushed to do something good. You remember something good. Oh, I should pray. I should wake up. I should read the Quran. Oh, I remember something good. That I should go. I should forgive so-and-so. I should give so-and-so a gift. I should call him. You are reminded. Where does this reminder come from? Likely from the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal around you that are supporting you, pushing you to do good. As they know that the shayateen are pushing you to do evil, you have angels that are pushing you to do good. And they're what? Asking you to be patient. Yeah, go to the masjid. But you know what? People are terrible and this and that. Be patient. Be patient. Go to the masjid. So you go. Right? I mean, it's too hot. It's too cold. And, you know, khutbah is too long, halaqah is too long, this I could be doing something else. To go, just go and listen, go and listen. You'll learn something, it's better for you. You'll be wasting your time if you do something else. So if you find that in you, acknowledge it that, alhamdulillah, I have that impulse, I have that feel, I have that energy. Take advantage of it, because that could be a touch really of an angel. Touching your heart, touching your body, to push you, do the right thing. So Allah Azza did not leave you alone. He sent angels. You know how in the Battle of Badr, He sent angels physically to fight? If you are fighting this jihad, Allah gives you angels as well. So you feel fortunate and you feel protected because of it. Then He said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave him His revelation and His words to support him. And He says also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him al-aql. He gave him this mind to be able to understand. And He gave him certainty. And his certainty continues to increase until he could see the hereafter in front of his eyes. As if he could see Allah's promises in front of his eyes and Allah's punishment in front of his eyes. So your yaqeen, your certainty could develop to such an extent, it's as if you could see it with your own eyes. Right? Before it actually happens. Right? قال ثم أمد سبحانه القائم بهذا الأمر بالقوى الظاهرة والباطنة. So he said then Allah Azza wa Jalla also gave him additional support. So he gave him, let's say, a pious eye. And he's going to be talking about how the shaitan utilizes, and this is for next week, بإذن الله عز وجل, how the shaitan tries to invade you through your eyes and ears and these entry points. So he says, Allah Azza wa Jal protects him, or He gives him an eye that protects him, an ear that protects him, a tongue that protects him, hands and feet, our legs, and also angels that are asking Allah to forgive him and to protect him from evil and to admit him into paradise. And Allah Azza wa Jal himself also defends him. So the greater piety he has, Allah Azza wa Jal also defends him. And he also finally, and that's interesting, he says, وَعَلَّمَ سُبْحَانَهُ عِبَادَهُ كَيْفِيَّةَ هَذِهِ الْحَرْبِ وَالْجِهَادِ. It is Allah had taught his servants how to win this jihad, how to win this battle. And he brings this ayah from the conclusion of Surah Ali Imran. It was just talking about physical jihad, and he applies it to the spiritual jihad. So Allah, he says, Allah had in four sentences, or in four words, Allah has summarized how to wage that jihad. So he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. He says four things that you need to do. Oh, you have iman. This, by the way, is true in physical jihad, and it's true in your spiritual jihad. Isbiru, have patience. But Ibn Qayyim says that it's not enough to have patience until you have sabiru. Sabiru is to have more patience than your enemy. You know how you could outsmart a person? And this is to outpatient a person. He's patient. But Allah is saying, okay, you're patient and he's patient. Who's going to win? You must have more patience than he is. So in battle, those who are more patient win. If you give up because it's just too long, you're already defeated. Right? You're already defeated. Right? I don't know. I mean, I've heard an expression, and they call it, it's like biting on fingers. I don't know. Where does that come from? I have no clue. But it's like, who quits first? Like, I'm biting on yours and you're biting on mine. Who quits first? That's the one who lost. So that's the patience. You have to have more patience than them. So you have patience, then more patience than them, then third, and be stationed. وَرَابِطُوا. This is just like a soldier. You have to be stationed at the borders. So you don't let him in. You don't let him sneak. You don't let him attack. You're stationed. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ and have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? So he says here, وَجِمَاعُ هَذِهِ الثَّلَاثَ وَعَمُودُهَا الَّذِي تَقُومُ بِهِ هُوَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. He says all those three, patience, and to have more patience than, and to be stationed in preparation for that fight. He says those three need taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you cannot have them and they be beneficial without taqwa. And you cannot have taqwa without patience. Like, let's suppose you want to have taqwa. Could you have taqwa without patience? How could you stay away from haram? How could you pray? You need patience. Okay, you are a very patient person. Will it be useful without taqwa? What is it for? What is it for? So he's saying, okay, you need to be strong, but for a reason. So if you have taqwa, and you are patient and you're stronger than your enemy and you block all those entrances of his and you're watching what he's doing, you win the fight. And he'll be talking about that, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, how to be stationed and how the shaitan enters. That will be, inshallah, for next week, bi'idhnillah, Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Let me know, inshallah, if you have questions. Tfadl. No. Sahih. Naam, zakallah. Naam. So the brother is asking about priority in knowledge. So there's a lot of knowledge available, right? Online, books, and so how to begin? How do you prioritize it? So few words for that. First of all, the selection has to be made based on the authenticity, the soundness of the knowledge itself and the person speaking. So you have to make sure that the person, just like when you visit a doctor, you have to make sure that they're actually a doctor and they're actually a good doctor. And only then you go to them. And if they are a bad doctor, even if they've graduated from school, if they're a bad doctor, you're not going to go to them. So it's the same thing. This person has to be reliable, and what they're saying has to be reliable. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to prioritize the basics and what benefits you. So the basics are, you have to prioritize the basics that you need in aqeedah, knowing Allah Azza wa Jal, tawheed, right? And we've talked about this before. Tawheed is not a very kind of dry subject. No, it's about how you feel about Allah Azza wa Jalla. So you know and you react. So you have to prioritize that tawheed. And based on it, loving Allah and relying on Him and trusting Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and being devoted to Him, having ikhlas, which is among the most difficult things to have, but not impossible. So aqeedah. And then what you need from fiqh, right? So that you could practice and you know. And then the seer of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so you would know him more. And his sunnah, so that you would know him more. And then you read the Quran, and then the tafsir of the Quran, and then you move beyond, or move based on what you need. Now, for some people and for some places, they do have a program. And you could just simply follow that program. Or if you're not going to join that program, you take the curriculum and you borrow the curriculum. And you're able to follow the first year. This is what they study in aqeedah and fiqh and tafsir and hadith and what have you. If you have that stamina, if you want to do that. But if not, then you cover the basics so that you know how you worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And you're not found wanting when you meet Him. And then based on what benefits you. Allahu Akbar. No.
And so how can we, let's say if someone is working for a member of Allah and to fight off the whispers of the shaitan, but how can they work on their weakness and inclination of their own selves?
No. So the question is about, okay, we talked about the whispers of the shaitan, but we also have inclinations, our own inclinations towards sin, towards temptation. How do we work, how did you phrase it? With ourselves, okay. How do we fix ourselves, right? So that we would overcome these inclinations. So, first of all, as some people have asked before, how do we know the difference between the whisper of the shaitan and the inclinations of the self? And I've said before, it's really hard to know and tell them apart because they often are mixed. Even if something comes from yourself, the shaitan simply joins it and amplifies it and makes it stronger. So it's really not possible and it's not very useful because you have to deal with the thing as it arrives, not really go and investigate its origins. It might be not be even possible to find the origins. But you deal with it in the same way. Because as you suppress the whispers of the shaitan, the inclinations of the self also will be suppressed. So the self has this appetite, right? And that appetite is a halal appetite. So if you feed it the halal, it will be less inclined to do the haram. So that's one thing to medicate the self with, is that, okay, I want to do this haram, we'll give it the halal to kind of just satisfy it. But if it's still inclined towards the haram, you need to kind of restrain it by reminding it that it is wrong and engaging in much worship of Allah Azza wa Jal that it does not find this attractive anymore, finds it repulsive, or at least it recognizes it will destroy it, so it runs away from it. And the whisper of the shaitan diminish because of how much time you're spending with Allah versus away from Him, so He has less power over you. So the self is not as corrupt, right? So if the self receives less corruption, it's likely to be less corrupt. And if it receives more righteousness, it's likely to be more righteous and not command you to be evil. And we talked before about an-nafs and how it moves from being al-ammara bis-su' to al-mutma'inna. So you could kind of transition from this to that, from one that commands you to do evil to one that is content or happy with Allah Azza wa Jal. The more good that you do, the more dua that you invest, the more that yourself will become that. Wallahu a'lam. So. And I have other people, inshallah. Tfadali. Ant. Oh, okay. It's up to you. You want to give it up? I can come back to you, inshallah. No. لا لا هو هو رفع يده هو رفع يده نعم نعم صحيح نعم صحيح جزاك الله خير نعم أبو نشي الخنساء lost her four children in jihad. She didn't cry over them like she did cry over her brother, which tells you that the self of the believer, the soul of the believer, how it's very different than the soul of the disbeliever and how it's more content with Allah's decree. Whereas when it doesn't know Allah, it panics, completely panics. Allah. Okay, inshallah. Let me see you here. And you can sit down. It shouldn't, not that. I mean, just you're celebrating the day of Arafah or fasting the day of Arafah on a different day. Yeah. No, I think they're fine, wallahu alam. It's just the difference is very, very small that it's not even a difference, inshallah. So don't let it disturb you. Don't let it disturb you. Barakallahu alaik. Yeah. صحيح. Yes, yes, that's true. So, the question is that if a person is more sinful, he is less likely to distinguish between right and wrong. Is it the opposite true that a more righteous person is more able to see the truth and understand the Quran and understand the Hadith? Yes, absolutely. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَل لَهُ فُرْقَانًا. The one who has taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will grant him a furqan, right? A criterion, right? By which he will be able to tell right from wrong. So there's a light that he would be given. We talked about firasa before, right? Having that insight or foresight to be able to recognize right from wrong. So definitely Allah Azza wa Jal, because he stayed away from the haram, Allah Azza wa Jal grants him access to more of his bounties, not only worldly, these are not the most important one, the religious bounties of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Let me stop here, inshallah, so we don't delay our Isha. If you do have questions, inshallah, just write them down, give them to me, and I'll, inshallah, I will address them bi idhnillah Azza wa Jalla next week. Na'am. Sahih. بإذن الله. It has no power. نعم. سبحانك اللهم.